Hey guys, we got something special. We got a new puppy. This is Maisie. Maisie, say hi. Say hi, 411. Watch. Fidget. Good girl.
Welcome to another episode of the 411. I'm Michelle.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Chris.
I'm Diana.
Happy Computer Science Week, everyone. In honor of this week, you might have noticed that earlier we have shared out some Hour of Code resources for you all to use in your classrooms for Computer Science Week. And as we were compiling that and sharing it out, it got us talking about what computer science education looks like in the classroom, the things we think are going really well, and the areas for improvement. So we wanted to continue that conversation here. So guys, let's chat Computer Science Week. What are your thoughts and what are you seeing?
Yeah, so those resources, Marcus and Diana, that you guys shared out are completely awesome. I'm really excited about Hour of Code and Computer Science Week because, you know, it is important that students sort of, you know, learn different ways to solve problems. For me, you know, coding, it brings about critical thinking and creativity and all of the things that we're trying to teach. And so to have that happening in classrooms all over the country, I love it, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, I always look forward to Computer Science Week, and it's just an opportunity to let teachers get out of their comfort zone a little bit by sort of introducing, in many cases, some new content to their students, and hopefully finding really great ways and great resources out there to connect their curriculum and their content to things like coding. Excuse me. As Chris said, I did share out some content with my teachers in my corporation, and I have some teachers that are interested. And I think one of the biggest struggles that I have seen in the past and that I continue to see is just the wariness that we probably all have of getting into something that we don't feel comfortable with as teachers. If you don't feel like you're the full authority on the topic, it can be daunting. And so when you have teachers who want to get out into coding a little bit, they're interested, but they're lacking confidence. You know, I guess my advice would just be jump into it. There's so much out there that the students will be able to learn, and the teacher does not, in my opinion, have to be the owner of the knowledge. You sort of lead students to great resources, and then you let them learn. And I've seen success with that, and I hope that tons of teachers out there are willing to take that plunge and let students see maybe something new in their classrooms.
So when we were creating those Hour of Code resources to share out this week, I think when we were designing that, we were sort of trying to think of being mindful about finding a lot of different activities. We wanted something for math, we wanted something for social studies, we wanted something for language arts. We wanted teachers to feel like they could take any of those resources and easily apply them to their current curriculum and to whatever content area they focus on. So what are your thoughts on that, on integrating coding, Hour of Code or beyond, into content areas versus letting that be a standalone activity?
I think computational thinking has a place in all content areas. I think sometimes we don't have a quite a strong enough distinction between computational thinking coding, computer science. So yes, those skills and that way of thinking, I think definitely need to be a part of a modern curriculum. I also feel really strongly that there are just some computer science skill sets that I feel like we need to be introducing to students. We need to be doing it early. When we look at the statistics for the job outlook for computer science, STEM careers, it is a rapidly growing field, and we don't have the people coming out of high school and universities ready with the skill sets necessary to take on those jobs. And so I do think that there is a lot of space for very specific focused instruction as well, specifically around things like coding. But I think a lot of that has to start at a very young age. And so I think about Hour of Code. And to an extent, I love it because I want to introduce computer science to every student that I see. And I think that's really important. But I don't think we're leveraging it enough. I think even what's more important than playing the building block games on some of those coding websites for an hour and then moving on, I think when we have young students, we need to be having conversations with them about computer science jobs. We need to introduce them to people who are doing those jobs, and specifically highlighting people that are not white males. We look at not only are there gaps in the numbers of people with expertise in those fields ready to take on those jobs, we also have some pretty massive gaps in diversity, and there's some gender, a lot of gender disparity. And so I think that starts early. And if I were to celebrate Computer Science Week with students, I would want to focus a lot of my time on introducing them to what that is, so that when they get to high school and have the opportunity to take a very focused coding class, that we have broken down some of the stereotypes and gotten kids excited about the potential so they can see themselves as computer scientists. And I really think that that is what the focus of this week should be. And I just kind of got off on a rabbit trail there from your original question, so I apologize. But to circle back around, yes, but I think that's not enough.
Okay, so if this week is all about celebrating computer science, and we all, I think, can kind of agree that Hour of Code is an amazing way to introduce students and teachers to coding or computational thinking, you know, we know that on a much larger scale, we have to have a conversation of like what the vision for approaching all of those standards and skills, K-12, you know, we need to know what that looks like. And I think it makes sense to kind of talk a little bit now about the difference between, you know, just a week and what are we expecting of our students and what are we offering our students kind of in this realm. So as you've been talking, I've been reading like the ISTE student standards and the CS standards for our state. And I came across a couple of quick definitions that I think will help us kind of form the rest of our conversation tonight. So first, from Alan Tucker, he writes that computer science is the study of computers and the algorithmic processes, including their principles, hardware, software designs, implementation, and their impact on society. I think Michelle touched on that a lot in her last comment. And then Herbert Simon writes that computer science has been defined as the study of computers and all phenomena that arise around them. And then once you start kind of digging in to, no matter what state you're in, computer science standards, you'll start to see things way beyond coding. Like we're talking about understanding how software runs computers, and we're talking about binary. We're talking about not only understanding algorithms, but writing them. And it becomes this huge topic. So Hour of Code, just the beginning of a much larger conversation.
Yeah, and I love that because that is a great, sort of leap off of what Michelle said. And I think taking what Michelle said and then taking in those definitions, I think anyone myself included, I'm listening to that going, oh yeah. You know, the coding that we see is a lot of the block coding and so forth, and that is really engaging for a lot of students, but that's not career. That's not career ready stuff. That is, you know, in many cases, a simplified sort of facade of what coding can be. And so what I think Michelle was suggesting was, yeah, we get them hooked in with that kind of thing, but we need to push the ceiling and get students to understand what computer science in its entirety is, and push the ceiling up and let kids get into some of those higher level activities and practices, whether they have those classes in high school or not. So I'm really glad that you brought up the definitions.
Okay. I want to try something, and I also want to preface it by playing devil's advocate, but I don't think it's too far-fetched for a teacher to be like, you know, we talk about how, you know, these are the jobs of the future and all of this stuff, but you know, there will still be a need for you know, trades and different things. And you know, the language arts teacher would be like, you know, they're not asking me to teach students how to you know, do to become an electrician or, you know, this or that. So, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate, but convince me that coding is more important than any other trade that is still a need.
I think it's twofold. First of all, I don't think it's about stacking careers on top of each other, prioritizing some over the other. But I do think that, one, when it comes to computer science and computational thinking, those skill sets are going to better prepare students for college and careers, regardless of what those choices are. So I think that it is a skill set. I'm not talking about coding specifically, but when you look at those skill sets that are a part of computer science, I think that it makes a more well-rounded student. Secondly, I think we probably need to do a better job of addressing this in a lot of fields. I just happen to feel really strongly about computer science, and so this is what you know, my passion is. And when we think about computer science and we think about the job outlook, and this is a rapidly growing field that I can't imagine will slow down anytime soon, and we don't have I don't think we're doing a service to our students if we're not helping them see themselves as computer scientists in whatever form that takes. And so I do think it's really important, not necessarily to teach young students how to write very specific, complicated code, but I do think it's important that we're not building those stereotypes and putting them in place and waiting until kids are too old to decide that they're interested in coding, when it's time to learn those very specific skill sets for very specific careers. The work has to start at a young age and helping them even realize that's a possibility. And what you're getting at, we probably need to do that in a lot of fields, but I think computer science gives us a lot of reward in just help in the things that students learn, regardless of whether they go into those fields.
I like that Michelle continues to say computational thinking, and she's being really clear about that as a skill that we should be helping our students grow. And when I talk to computer programmers who are out in the field, who are doing that for their career, they will even tell you that it isn't about knowing a programming language fluently, right? So they'll get out, look at some open source coding, take apart something that someone else has created, and they will use that and fix the problems within it to solve a problem that they're trying to solve. And so, you know, when I get into the ISTE student standards and, you know, standard 5 is computational thinker, and I'm looking through that, and that isn't about coding. It's about understanding problems and sequencing and things like that. So while I think Hour of Code is a great start, the skill that we're trying to build that should be, you know, all throughout our computer science curriculum, whether that's integrated or, you know, separate elective courses, that's the skill we're trying to build, computational thinking.
Love it. And say no more, I'm convinced. So I think what we settle on is forget hour of code. Let's have years of computational thinking, and we'll develop students that are career ready in whatever it is that they want to do, be it coding or whatever. So what I would like to do then, if you guys are fine with it, is to share your favorite resource in terms of computational thinking or coding that teachers could use.
I'll start off. I want to say one resource, but I'm almost certain that Diana will talk about it. I could be wrong, but I'm just going to cut straight to it. I love Scratch. I love that site. There's so much content there. I love that there are tutorial how-to videos. Again, we're talking about block coding, but that has been for easily the last 3 or 4 years. That has just been one place where I knew I could just be guaranteed a steady, stable place where kids can do block coding and be engaged and entertained and have new content and be challenged. And, there have been lots of other tools and sites over the last few years, but that's one that I've always been able to depend upon. So Scratch for me.
I think if you're just starting, you're wanting to celebrate your 1 hour of code this week or do something special for Computer Science Week. Of course, almost everyone knows about code.org, and there are lots of ready-made activities for students there. But I think what's important, it's not just saying, hey, kids, go play for an hour with the puzzles. It's building those connections. And what's great is if you do some digging on code.org or you go to csedweek.org, you can find a lot of great content that will help you as a teacher introduce computer science jobs and computer scientists. And what I like specifically about those two sites is you can find even very specific inspirational videos about women computer scientists or people that maybe challenge what we think about when we think about computer scientists, computer programmers. And I think it's so important that we just explicitly introduce students to those kind of things. So before you throw kids on code.org or some of those block coding sites, I really think it's important to open up with conversations. And there are a lot of great video content there that can start those.
So the resource that I want to share, its mission is to help students solve problems in a digital world. And it is Applied Digital Skills from Google. And there are tons of resources and entire lessons, an entire curriculum that is free that teachers in any content area can utilize to bring some of those CS standards and ISTE student standards and computational thinking directly integrated into their classroom. Check it out. And that is Applied Digital Skills with Google.
I knew it was going to be Google, but if I was betting, I thought you were going to say Google CS first. Put that one on the list as well, because that is awesome.
Great resources. I'm going to share a Google one as well. It's a little bit more playful. I'm fascinated with artificial intelligence, and Google has a couple sort of, I would call them introductions into artificial intelligence. And one is just called AutoDraw, and it's at autodraw.com. And you basically draw something, and the computer tries to guess what you're drawing. Simple, but it's fun. The other one, though, is a little bit more requires a little bit more work from you, and that is in Experiments with Google, and it is called the Teachable Machine. There's tons of other experiments with Google that you can check out, but I really enjoy the Teachable Machine. It uses your camera, and you teach it, the computer, to react to you when you do certain things on the camera. And it has step-by-step tutorials where you can basically program your computer to to have a certain output or reaction to what you do on the camera. So it's a lot of fun. But I think we've talked enough Google and computational thinking and computer science and hour of code. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's have some fun. And you know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't sung on camera and made a fool of ourselves for the internet. Let's do that. I kind of miss it.
Not it.
Me, 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 me. No idea. I love it. Let's sing childhood songs. What is your favorite childhood song?
No, I feel like childhood songs have really progressed. My kids tell Alexa to play their favorite song from the movie Zombies, and it's actually kind of good. It stuck in my head all day. But the songs that I remember from childhood are the songs that I learned in my music class in elementary school. And I've got a good one for you guys.
Don't just tell it, sing it.
Okay, I'm gonna need someone to give me a letter, not a vowel. I need a letter.
F.
Okay, I feel kind of like this is meant to be because I haven't even heard the song in like 20 years. I heard it today. I heard it playing today when I dropped my daughter off at the YMCA play area. Okay, so letter F. Here we go. F-A-F-A, F-E-F-E, F-I-F-A-D-F-I, F-O-F-O-F-A-D-F-I, F-O-F-O-F-O-F-O-F-O-F-O-F-O-F-O. What's up?
What? What was that?
I know that song. I can do it only on one letter, which is B. Which is like B-I-B-B-I-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B- just open up and sing. Oh, be a... It's great. That took me back.
I'm now really, really jealous because my entire life, I've never been able to sing that song. I can't do it. I can't form those sounds together. Guess I'm just gonna have to keep practicing. Okay, it's time for me to take you back to kindergarten. My very favorite kindergarten song. I hope you all have it stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Baby Beluga was my jam. You guys ready? Baby beluga in the deep blue sea, swims so wild and he swims so free. Heaven above and the sea below, it's a little white whale on the go. Baby beluga. You guys know that one? That's why I loved it.
Since we're talking about childhood songs, Michelle sang about Baby Beluga. You know what is way better than Baby Beluga? Anybody?
If you start singing that baby daddy grandma shark thing, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah! Baby shark doo 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 doo, baby shark doo 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 doo, baby shark doo 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 doo, baby shark.
Well, we've heard a lot. We've heard a lot this evening. We've talked shop. We've heard some singing. But as the, the most mature member of the group, I feel an obligation, a duty, really, to bring honor and respect with my song. I grew up on the east side of Indianapolis, and I went to Heather Hills Elementary. Shout out to the Highlanders. That is in Warren Township, Warren Central High School. Oh, state football champs again. Anyway, got distracted. Here's my song from elementary school. Heather Hills, we love so dear. we'll remember through the years. Red and white we'll wear with pride. By the rules we will abide. Heather Hills, we are the best. Highlanders meet every test. Loyal we will always be. In our hearts and memories.
Riveting. I've got $10 that says the students of Heather Hills Elementary are no longer singing that song. So if we have a viewer out there with any connection to Heather Hills, please let us know whether they're singing that song or not. I would be shocked if they were. But the good news is, Marcus, you did put Diana asleep, and so I can sing my song again. That's the end, doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. That's the end, doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. That's the 411.